Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 6 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. As always, my name is Jeff Crisco, and as always, I am here with my co-host, Mike Valverde. Mike, how are you doing on this scorcher of a day out here in California?
I'm doing great. I'm not feeling the scorching just because I'm in the nice air conditioning apartment that I'm in and enjoying the nice, cool, air-conditioned weather.
There's a... at my old office where I work, when somebody talks about you know, their the benefits they're enjoying that day, or if they had an easy day or things just totally went their way, we go, must be nice. And as somebody who works partially outside, all I gotta say is must be nice to be able to enjoy the AC. I was out in cars without AC in 99 degree weather today, so that was fun. We're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about fantasy football. And as always, we are available on iTunes. Please rate and review. Give us a review is almost as important as leaving us some stars, because I was looking into it. The more reviews, the better the stars look. So I would appreciate that on the algorithm. It is Football Absurdity. There. Website's footballabsurdity.com. Right now we have Waleed Ismail is doing player profiles, and he's gotten through 23 quarterbacks in the last 4 days. It's pretty crazy. He takes a look at ceiling, floor, just some sort of quick analysis so that you can have an idea of the player going into your draft. And he gives you sort of recommendations on what you want to do. He's planning on doing them for every fantasy relevant player, which is a little crazy to me, but hey, what are you going to do? Also, Football Absurdity, still the exclusive home for the 2018 season for Beer Sheets, a custom fantasy football cheat sheet that you just put in your scoring settings and it'll spit one out for you. It's a great resource. The fantasy football subreddit loves it. So go ahead, go check that out. It's up at the top. It's just Beer Sheets request form. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. I am JM Crisco. That's K-R-I-S-K-O. Mike is RFL Red Zone. The site is F-Ball Absurdity. Today, we're going to talk about round 6 through 10. What Mike called Rip It or Forget It. Some players that are kind of... questionable about if you want them or not. They're guys that who knows what their upside is, their downside, or even if you want to touch them. So we're going to talk about 5 guys each going in those rounds. But first, we have a little segment for you folks that we're going to start every episode with. It's called Pick Your Poison. What we're going to do is we're going to look at different flex points in the draft, and we'll talk through the players available there. And we'll decide who we want, discuss why we want them, and maybe why we don't want particular players there. Today, we are talking about picks 10 through 16. So around the turn in the first round in a snake draft. The players going there are Gordon Hunt. I'm sorry. The players going there are Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, Odell Beckham Jr., Dalvin Cook, Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman, and Michael Thomas. So I think what we'll do on this one is, Mike, who out of that group would you want to take first? And then I'll give my first pick, and then you'll do your second and my second to see which guys in that group we want to take there at the turn.
Okay, sounds good. I would say if Odell Beckham is there at the turn, that's my first choice without any thoughts or any hesitations whatsoever. I just think the Giants are going to be passing the ball a lot, mainly because they'll be behind. And if they're passing the ball, that means Odell Beckham is going to be receiving the ball. So I enjoy that an awful lot. And I'd take him over any of those players, even Julio Jones. So that'd be my number one selection.
And what's great about that is Odell Beckham's going 112. So you and Julio Jones going 2-3. So if things fall exactly right, you could actually end up with both guys in your draft, which would be crazy. My choice there would be Odell Beckham Jr., but I'm going to go ahead and take somebody else. I'll say Melvin Gordon. Not a huge Melvin Gordon believer. Just going to start off with that. He's decent enough. He's a quality back. He's not quite the same talent level, I think, as a guy like Kareem Hunt or Dalvin Cook. But what he has there is usage. He gets the ball so many times a game. He gets it out of the backfield pass, receiving. He gets it running. And I think that the Chargers this year are going to be so defensively minded and to be incredible. And they're going to go to one of those run the ball, play good defense offenses. And I think that even though Gordon has a career yards per carry, which isn't everything, but it's under four, I think he's going to get so much guaranteed volume as a guaranteed three down back that he's the guy I want to take there. Hunt last year had that work, but there's been a lot of research into Andy Reid, except for when he had Brian Westbrook. He likes to sort of split up the production to different backs. And Spencer Ware is going to be back this year after being out last season with an injury. And then Dalvin Cook's recovering from injury. So my actual pick, I agree with you, Mike. Odell Beckham at the end of the first round is insane value. I think he was a top seven pick last year. But in the interest of talking about somebody else, I think Melvin Gordon is the guy that I would take there. If, say, for example, you're picking right before me and you snagged Odell Beckham. So I would be left with Melvin Gordon. I'd be happy with it. So out of those guys, maybe a couple, we'll look into the second half. So Gordon's off the board. We'll say Hunt and Beckham's off the board. So we've got Dalvin Cook, Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman, and Michael Thomas. Mr. Valverde, you are on the clock. Who are you taking?
And almost as quick as I would take Odell Beckham, I would take Michael Thomas. The Saints offense, Michael Thomas is going to catch easily around 100 passes. And then, of course, with 100 passes, you're going to look at maybe 1,200, 1,300 yards and 7 or 8 touchdowns. So very easily, he's going to be putting up number one numbers that you're getting in the second round. And I just couldn't pass that up. Especially with the remaining players that are on the board, Odell Beckham and Michael Thomas would be my 1-2 guys. So I'd be starting two wide receivers in the first two rounds and be desperately looking for a running back in round three.
All right. That's a very good pick. I think we talked about Michael Thomas last episode. I think it was – or two episodes ago. Talking about touchdown regression for him. Guy had 1,245 yards last year, only 5 touchdowns. That's an insanely low rate. A lot of that had to do with our well-documented Kamara and Ingram taking everything they touched to the house. So it's good candidate for touchdown regression. And he had 149 targets last year, 104 receptions. In a PPR or a half PPR, buddy, that is that baseline that you want with the upside out of your second round pick. So let's see what I got here. So I'm now between, we'll say Dalvin Cook, Julio Jones, Devonta Freeman. Boy, this is a tough pick here between Cook and Julio, because I started my team with Odell Beckham and I kind of want to get a running back there. But at the same time, Julio Jones is the man for yardage, touches, or receptions. All that was off last year was the touchdowns, and I think that he's going to bounce back in a huge way. And Dalvin Cook has the injury question. I think I'm going to go Julio here. I think starting with Odell Beckham and Julio Jones, that's I don't have to worry about a wide receiver again until round 7, round 8. I can just load up on running backs in the next few rounds. And this is a departure for me because, 4, 5, 6 years ago, when I really started to focus on fantasy football, the whole thing was, Mike, remember, take running back, the first two rounds. Don't even think about wide receivers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, back then, they, remember, I think it was maybe 5 years ago or 6 years ago where, like, the first 10 selections easily could have been running backs, and quarterbacks or wide receivers weren't even going to be even remotely even thought of, just an inkling maybe if you're desperate to get a wide receiver. But it's totally changed now. Now quarterbacks are starting to be what wide receivers used to be and being picked late. Now it's running backs and wide receivers for the first couple rounds.
Yeah, I just finished a slow mock draft that I've talked about a couple times on the podcast. And my goal was to not take a running back or tight end, and I'm sorry, a quarterback or tight end until round 10. I got till round 9 before just absurd value was staring me in the face. I went back to back Cousins and Andrew Luck so that I had the nice baseline of Cousins with the upside of Andrew Luck. And next round I went Trey Burton, and it was exactly what I was hoping for out of when with my little experiment. So so there you go. Our first iteration of Pick Your Poison. This time we took a look at the end of round 1. Sounds like our preferred picks there are, we both agreed on Odell Beckham, so I flipped to Melvin Gordon. You wanted to take Michael Thomas. I'm taking Julio. That's the beauty of the end of round 1 is literally any of those players are good picks. You have to get into little tiny nitpicks when you're trying to decide between them. Latavius Murray is going to take touches from Cook, or Spencer Ware is going to take them from Hunt. But at the end of round 1, that's sort of your first flex point if you're drafting at the turn, because that's going to set the foundation of your team, and you're not picking again for at least 20 more picks. So it's good to take a look at where you're going to be drafting and who you want where.
I have a question for you. Do you think it's strange to see Julio Jones and Michael Thomas basically neck to neck in ADP value?
It is very weird for Julio Jones to be that low, because Julio Jones to me feels like a mid first rounder. You know, he doesn't feel like he's a second round pick right now. That doesn't make any sense to me. The man rolls out of bed and is 1400 yards, you know? So Michael Thomas, he does feel like a second round pick just because he hasn't had one of those just, you know, oh my God, knock your socks off sort of seasons. He's just been this sort of like nice baseline for production as Drew Brees's preferred target. So it is a little weird. Yeah, it is. It is a little weird. It's also weird to see Devonta Freeman and Jordan Howard have back-to-back ADPs, just because that is a steep drop-off in terms of talent and potential this season, in my opinion.
Well, as for the potential, as in for which running back?
I mean, you talked me out of Jordan Howard. So I think that Freeman, you know, he does everything. I think Freeman is the last of the three down backs that you have available to you. I mean, obviously, guys like LeSean McCoy, he's dropped because of concerns off the field. Guys like Rashad Penny, he's going in the third round. We don't know if he's a three down back, but the last real high upside three down back available to you is going to be Devonta Freeman. And then you start getting into guys that are in workshare mode. Jordan Howard, Jerick McKinnon's probably going to share with Matt Breida. Joe Mixon's got Gio Bernard. Christian McCaffrey has a CJ Anderson problem. Derrick Henry has a Deion Lewis problem. Darius Geis has a Chris Thompson problem. You see how it's like, yeah. Freeman has a Tevin Coleman problem, but they've coexisted for years. You know, they've been beautiful together. So I just kind of feel like Devonta Freeman's that last high upside, high floor, all around back. Because Freeman, if I told you Freeman ended the season with 9 rushing touchdowns and 4 receiving touchdowns, would that be insane?
Yeah, I wouldn't believe you.
Really? I think that Atlanta offense, I think 13 touchdowns is a good bet. But I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I'm the dumb one.
I don't think that it's impossible. I don't think it's out of the question. I just wouldn't believe you. I would just go, you know, okay. But if it actually happens, if it comes true, then it's not something that's so far out of left field that I'd be like, who are you talking about? You're talking about Devontae Freeman when you're mentioning 13 total touchdowns, right? So to say it's in reach, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If at the end of the season we looked back and Freeman had 14 total touchdowns, you'd be like, all right, I could see that. That's in the realm of possibility. Maybe Tevin Coleman misses 4 or 5 games and he's the man. But Jordan Howard having that many touchdowns kind of feels that would be a huge outlier personally, because that offense is still learning and growing together. He has a Tariq Cohen problem. There's so many mouths to feed there, you know, with Robinson and Burton, and Gabriel's going to swipe a few, and Anthony Miller's going to snag some. So I just, that's what I'm talking about, where they're 204 and 205 by ADP, but that feels like a huge drop in potential in upside personally.
Right. And not only are you talking about that, for Jordan Howard to score 13 or 14 touchdowns, he's going to have to rush 13 or 14 times inside that end zone. And that itself is having a, you know, all pro kind of career, or not career, but game, season. And that's just not going to happen. So with Devontae Freeman, he adds that extra dimension where even if you are in a standard league, he's going to catch, I think, at least 2 touchdowns. So you're adding possibly 7 to 9 touchdowns total. If Freeman scores, let's just say Freeman scores only 7 touchdowns, he's scoring 9 total. And that alone in a standard league, you're looking at just the amount as what Jordan Howard would be scoring. So, and that's a standard. That's not even considered PPR. So,
yeah,
you know, it's a big jump. And I totally get what you're saying. Freeman is a huge jump in PPR, where in standard, they're pretty much almost even, I would say.
You would say? Okay. I think it's just because I believe a lot more in Devonta Freeman. That was sort of my first notch in my fantasy football Twitter fighting belt. There was the huge Devonta Freeman versus Tevin Coleman fight, and I was on fully for Devonta Freeman. And I got to, after that season where he just blew everything out of the water, I got to collect my victories. So I think I might have some residual Devonta Freeman love from that. So, alrighty. So now that we've taken a look at the first round turn, we are going to turn our sights to rounds 6 through 10. Last week we talked about rounds 1 through 5, bold predictions. Last week was Mike's, the week before was mine. This week we're going to jam it all together. We're each going to talk about 5 guys going around 6 through 10 that are just, Mike calls it rip it or forget it. It's guys that are, I guess, interesting, guys that are worth talking about, that have questions. They may be guys you want to move towards. They may be guys you want to move against. And we'll talk about them. They're just different sort of flex points, is, I guess, the phrase of the day in your draft. So, Mike, why don't you kick it off with your first guy going in round 6 through 10. And for this, we use Fantasy Football Calculator. Average draft position. So, Mike, who's your first guy?
Yeah. So, just to add to what you're saying there, it's the calculator plus it's 12 teams. So we're looking at 12 players per round.
Yeah.
And my first player that I think you should rip is obviously Drew Brees. But since I talked to him about that, and if you want to listen to my analysis on Drew Brees, please listen to the previous episode and you'll get all the analysis pretty much there that I think is sufficient. So I won't talk about him too much, but that would be my number one guy. The guy that I want to talk about in the 6th round is, I just had him, Golden Tate. And the reason why I like Golden Tate, and this is for PPR value, is the fact that he is so underrated when it comes to catching passes. He's always up there with catching, you know, nearly 90 to 100 passes per season. And the only negative I find on Golden Tate is the fact that he's just not scoring as many touchdowns. So if he puts in just 3 more touchdowns, you're going to see him not only jump from a 6th round pick, but up where to 2 and number 1 pick. That's how close he is from being such a 6th round pick to a top receiver. That being said, why not take the risk on, especially when you're looking at the 6th round, why not take a risk on someone like Golden Tate, where you know you're going to get value, you know you're going to get the 100 receptions at the very minimum. So I would say rip Golden Tate.
I like that one. Golden Tate's the kind of guy that you're looking around, you've got, you know, the heart of your roster put together first 5 rounds, and you just need that guy, like you said, just even production. You know, he shows up, he gets at least 90 catches every year. Every year with Matt Stafford, except for one, he's over 1,000 yards. He's right around 5 touchdowns. And like you said, he has that upside of 3 more, especially because they lost Eric Ebron, who they were thrown to in the red zone. And I think they're probably going to stop throwing so much the running backs, because that's why they got Kerryon Johnson, a more traditional running back. So that's going to be more opportunities for Tate. My only question, and I'm not trying to tear this apart, but there's the sleeper who stayed asleep last year, who might rise this season, Kenny Golladay. Do you think Golladay is going to take a lot of Tate's touches? Do you think he's going to take Marvin Jones' touches? Or do you think he's just one of these guys that the fantasy community falls in love with, that maybe he's more a situation guy, maybe 5 or 50 targets a season, you know, just a situational guy?
Yeah, I think he's more just a situational guy. He's going to have big plays. He's going to catch, you know, the 60-yard touchdown, and people are going to go crazy. And he's going to win, you know, a couple games for you just because he catches 3 passes for 150 yards and 2 touchdowns. And that's just going to blow up your league. So, but you got 14 weeks of pretty much no production whatsoever. So I say that he's a best ball player without a doubt. I would love him to have him on my best ball team. And just going from there, Golden Tate is a little bit like, I mean, not Golden Tate, but Marvin Jones is a little bit like Golden Tate. He just stretches the field a little bit more. So he's not going to get the receptions that Golden Tate does. So, yeah, I don't expect much out of Kenny Golladay except for a couple remarkable long touchdown passes.
So my guy for the first guy I want to talk about is also a wide receiver, but he has nowhere near the track record of Golden Tate. And my guy, who I was huge on last year, and I'm actually asking you, Mike, if I should rip him or forget him. Number 5 overall pick last season, Tennessee Titans wide receiver, Corey Davis. Hurt most of the last year, start off the season with a bang, 10 targets, ended the season with a bang, chewing up Malcolm Butler, spitting him out while the Patriots did the same to his Tennessee Titans. But he just made Malcolm Butler his child. I'm leaning towards rip it. I'm saying he's a huge talent. When he was healthy last year, he got the targets. The last time we saw the Titans play, he was scoring 2 touchdowns on Malcolm Butler. Now, they were in garbage time, but right before the podcast, I went back and I rewatched his targets. Malcolm Butler was trying. It wasn't like Malcolm Butler was giving a 5-6 yard cushion and Davis was catching him, and then he just sort of shoved him down. His second touchdown was only beaten by how amazing it was by his first touchdown. Butler was hanging all over him. At the last second, the ball comes in. Davis reaches out, grabs it one-handed in the end zone, touchdown. So I believe in the talent. I think a full healthy season is a good thing for Corey Davis, obviously. More rapport with Marcus Mariota, new offensive system, you know, no more exotic smash mouth. I think that Corey Davis could be the pick that potentially wins you your league, because he has the same upside of being a top three round pick. Think about Corey Davis in the sixth round.
I love Corey Davis. There is just no doubt about how much I love Corey Davis. It's man love coming for Corey Davis. It's so much love. I think that by the end of next year, you're going to be drafting him in either the early third or late second round, if not early second round. He's a remarkable athlete. Mariota is going to just throw him the ball wherever and however he wants, and Corey Davis is going to make all the catches. I'm telling you, this guy is the second coming of freak Randy Moss. And if he's available in your sixth round and you don't draft him, I'm going to be very disappointed in you.
I kind of feel the same way. And in that slow mock that I just did that I was talking about, I did take Corey Davis, I think, in the sixth round. So you don't have to be disappointed in me. Everything's okay.
Okay, good.
So that's a unanimous rip him, litter rip. Get that guy. Make sure he's on your squad. So your second guy in rounds 6 through 10, who you want to talk about now?
Okay, so let's do a forget, and my forget is Jarvis Landry. And the reason why I am forgetting Jarvis Landry is because the Cleveland Browns situation as far as the quarterback right now is a mess. You have Tyrod Taylor, or you have Baker Mayfield, or who do you have running in the shotgun and the huddle, and who's going to be the team captain? We just don't know. And with that, it's hard to say, okay, well, this receiver is going to be able to catch 100 balls like Jarvis Landry is capable of doing, and which he's done over and over and over again for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 seasons. So I see a huge drop in production, and he's going where he normally goes. I don't see him matching anywhere near his Miami Dolphins numbers. I see a good 70 receptions coming from him, which isn't bad, but is it worth a 6th round choice? And I say absolutely not. I see that's a 7, 8, 9 round choice. I wouldn't even touch him in the 6th round. I'd maybe look at him in the 7th. But if it comes around and he's still around in the 9th, absolutely. But we're not talking about the 9th round. We're talking about the 6th round. So,
Mike. You cut out there for a second. You said you were looking at somebody else other than Jarvis Landry. Who is that?
Not anybody for the Cleveland Browns per se, but just the fact that I would be looking at another receiver if you're looking at receivers for that position in the 6th round.
And in the 6th round,
yeah.
You know who's available in there? Golden Tate, Corey Davis.
And Corey Davis. Those two players should be easily over Jarvis Landry.
Yeah, Tate's going 3 picks ahead of Landry, but Davis is right now going 4 picks behind Landry, which I agree with you. I was a huge Jarvis Landry fan in Miami because I play in a 1.5 point PPR league, and he was constantly going far too cheap for what he was offering. I said, all right, I'll take that wide receiver one for a song in this auction. So I was a huge Jarvis Landry fan, but I agree with you. His targets are going to go way down because his big value is that over the last 3 seasons, he had 166 targets, 131 targets, 161 targets. Monstrous. And they're all essentially 4 or 5 yards deep, so they're easy PPR points. And that's just not going to happen in Cleveland. I agree with you. That is an easy, easy forget for me. I am done with Jarvis Landry with what's going on in Cleveland.
Yeah, and just to see him at the same spot that most people got him last year is just baffling to me. I don't expect anything more than 70 receptions, probably about 820 yards and 4 touchdowns.
That sounds like a baby Jarvis Landry season, you know. Lot of catches, not so many yards per catch, and a handful of touchdowns. So that sounds a lot like a baby Jarvis Landry season to me, which is not something I want to take in the sixth round. So my next guy, he is a forget, and it pains me. It pains me deeply to forget him. He is currently going pick 711, pick 85 overall in the seventh round. He is number 10 in your playbooks, number one in your hearts. The quarterback of my San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo. Ooh. He is going in the seventh round. Okay. Now, I'm not out on Jimmy Garoppolo as a talent. Okay. I think he is amazing. My thing is last season, Jimmy Garoppolo didn't score touchdowns. The 49ers offense did not get appreciably better through the air. They got Jarek McKinnon. They're going to be on the goal line more, but I don't think Garoppolo really benefits from that. He had 7 touchdowns in 5 games. He had 5 picks in 5 games. The picks, I think, are going to go down. Some of them were extremely fluky, miscommunications with wide receivers, guys breaking the wrong way, guys falling down. But he's going at what I think is his reasonable ceiling. Obviously, his ceiling is, top 3, top 4 quarterback. But the, going in round 7, I just think that's a little rich for my blood. He's going 3 picks after Kirk Cousins, for example, who we've seen be a top 10 quarterback before. And he's going to an offense with Dalvin Cook, Adam Thielen, Stefon Diggs, Kyle Rudolph, just a bevy of weapons around him. And, you look at the 49ers, they got Dante Pettis. Okay. He's more of a return guy. They have Trent Taylor. Okay. He's a baby Wes Welker type deal. They have Pierre Garçon, Marquise Goodwin. I mean, they have some NFL quality wide receivers, but that's not the weaponry that I believe in. And I just think people who take Garoppolo in the seventh round, they won't be disappointed, but I just don't think he has the upside that a lot of people are hoping for, taking him as the 9th quarterback off the board. If he slips 2 rounds, oh, that'd be beautiful. I would love to take Jimmy Garoppolo in the 9th round all day. 7th round, hard pass for me. That's a forget for me. And it hurts me to say that.
Yeah, I could only imagine, being a 49er fan that you are. I have a question for you. Say, who would you rather pick? Would you rather pick George Kittle as your second tight end or Pierre Garçon as your 4th or 5th wide receiver?
That's a good question. I would probably – wait. Standard, half PPR, PPR, because I have different answers.
Let's do standard and PPR. Let's do one.
Okay. Standard would probably be Kittle because he's a great talent. He's amazing. I think he is going to take over all the weird targets that Garrett Celek got for some reason last season because he scored a bevy of touchdowns with Jimmy Garoppolo, he being Garrett Celek. I think those are going to go to the more talented player in George Kittle this season. In PPR, I'm going to go with PP Pierre Garçon because that guy is going to get so many targets just over the middle of the field and probably 120 targets. He'll catch 100 of them just all day, just as Garoppolo sort of safety valve sort of deal. I think that Garçon is wherever he's going, it's going to be a great value because people don't believe in him because he's unsexy. So let me see here. You sprung that Garçon on me. Let me see where Garçon's going. Garçon is in the 9th round for a guy that in PPR has, we'll say, top 24 is a reasonable assumption for how he'll end. In the 9th round, that's beautiful. 9th round in a 12-team league. So I would rather take Kittle as my 2nd and Garçon as my 4th or 5th. In PPR, to answer your question. That's a good question. That really made me think.
Thank you. I like it.
That's why I asked it.
Yeah.
So yeah, but Garoppolo in the seventh, that's a forget for me. That's a no, dog.
I'm still kind of reeling from that, just because, I mean, I know you're not a homer or anything like that, but it's one thing to you know, say, okay, it's an honest take. Let me just forget everything else and just say that's an honest take, and that's respectful, just because you could have just blown by that and not upset anything at all. So I respect that.
Oh, and here, you want to respect me even further? I am squatting on the Jimmy Garoppolo throwback jersey page on NFLshop.com, waiting for them to be available. So I will be a full Jimmy Garoppolo fanboy, and I will probably not own him anywhere. So there is that.
Now, are you going to wear the jersey to one of the home games this year?
Oh, buddy, I'm going to wear the jersey to all my home games. I have to retire my Navarro Bowman jersey that I've had since nobody knew who Navarro Bowman was. So,
wow, that's a long time.
Yeah, it was when he just first started, and everybody was mad because, you know, why are we playing this kid? We've got Takeo Spikes. That tells you how long I've had that jersey. People are upset we weren't playing Takeo Spikes over Navarro Bowman. So, alrighty. So that's my second player. I'm a forget Jimmy Garoppolo, even though I love the guy. But who's your third player in round 6 through 10 you want to talk about?
My third player that I want to take a rip on is Jamal Williams. And a lot of this has to do with the fact that Aaron Jones is going to be missing 4 games, I believe, which means that Williams is going to be the full-time back. And he should be the full-time back anyways. He's built to carry the load 3 times. He can catch the ball. Now, Aaron Jones is more electric and is a better receiver, but I think Jamal Williams in the first 4 games is going to be that bell cow. And once they see that he can do it all, then Aaron Jones is going to be one of those intermediate guys that come in, dispel Jamal Williams. And so you're going to get a guy that's a bell cow in basically late 7th, maybe early 8th round, and be a starter, maybe even a flex. You probably could fit him in as a flex, one of the two, and have him all season. So I'm a big Jamal Williams fan right now.
I like it. And to your point, it looks like Jones is only missing 2 games, but 2 games is more than enough to have Jamal Williams solidify that role. And speaking to what you were saying about Aaron Jones' skill set, I really wanted the Niners to get him. For him to fit that sort of Tevin Coleman secondary back role that everybody's clamoring for Matt Breida to have in San Francisco, because of his size, agility, exactly what you're saying. He's a smaller guy, and he's probably better suited for that number 2 role. So I agree with you on that one. I think Jamal Williams is going to be a huge value. He's going to be the guy that you fast forward to week 4, you know, Williams has had his 2 games by himself. Jones comes back. Williams is still the guy, and everybody's sitting there going, yeah, you know what? We probably should have saw this coming for exactly the reasons you just outlined, you know, that he's better suited as the main back.
I appreciate that.
All right. So my number 3 guy, and it pained me to not draft Jimmy Garoppolo. You cannot believe how much it hurts me to recommend that you draft this player, because I spent all last offseason doing whatever the exact opposite of banging the table was for him. That player, last season, he was going in the 4th round. This season, he's going in the 8th round. 8th round, it is an auto draft for me. Easy click. Done. Jordan Reed in the 8th round. Now, the reason I was... Oh, hold on. Hold on, Mike. I got numbers for you. I got numbers. Don't worry. So the reason I hate him in the 4th round is because this guy is never healthy. Okay. He's always a concussion away from exploding on the field. last season he dealt with a lot of different lower body injuries, probably cascading from his foot injury. So last season that was not priced into his pick. He was going far too high. This season, before I go any further, Mike, you agree when he's on the field, I mean, he has the ability to be a top three tight end at the position, right?
Oh, yeah. If not the best tight end in football, easily.
Exactly. Okay. I was hedging it at top three there. So while he's on the field, he could be the best, at least receiving tight end in football. He's currently going in the eighth round, the number 10 tight end off the board. Guys right behind him, Eifert, who basically is Jordan Reed, the same issue, but not as talented. George Kittle, who we talked about earlier, who's a trendy sleeper. Jack Doyle, David Njoku, Ricky Seals-Jones, OJ Howard, ASJ. So you see that after Reed, there's kind of a drop-off there. So I have no problem ripping it on Reed, and then it, when he's not available, streaming the position, and here's why. All right. In Jordan Reed's career, he's played 52 games. In games, I set it at four targets, where he's gotten at least four targets. The numbers for three and five aren't too different, so I'm not cherry-picking numbers here. But in games, he's gotten at least four targets. So the games that he's been able to play, he's been healthy enough to actually get targets, because some games he was out there just as a decoy. And you got to suss out those games. In the 45 games that he's had at least four targets, he's averaged 60 yards per game. He's gotten an average of nearly eight targets. He's gotten six receptions a game, and he scored a touchdown every other game. Put that all in a bucket, shake it up. That's 9 fantasy points per game in standard, 15 in PPR for a guy that's going in the 10th round right now, or 8th round, I'm sorry, number 10 tight end. I will bet on that upside and worry about streaming the position when he's not hurt at that price. Sort of the opposite of the Jimmy Garoppolo thing. I think that he's finally priced right for his injury concerns. And the tight end position, to be a top 12 tight end, you just have to score 7 points a week. And in games where he's healthy enough to play, he starts at 60 yards per game. Granted, this does factor in the crazy end of season he had a couple seasons ago, but that upside still exists. So a guy that I'm ripping on, that I've done the opposite meaning of rip on, I've destroyed this guy for his injury history, is Jordan Reed. I think he's finally priced right. Round eight might be a little high, but round nine, if he falls there, oh, buddy, you've got yourself a spot on my roster, Mr. Reed.
I just can't buy it at number nine. Everything that you're saying is correct about Reed. There, the guy just produces whenever he's on that field. He's just one of the few tight ends that you can actually count on, and just put him in and forget it. And there's no doubt about his production. I just can't put a walking CTE case on the field in the ninth round. And it's just maybe a pet peeve that I have, and maybe you're valuing him correctly, but I, for just some strange reason or whatever it may be, that in the ninth round, I'm looking for other backup talent. I'm looking to fulfill my third receiver, fourth receiver, you know, my third, fourth running back, whatever it may be, and not really looking at the tight end position, especially when I can get Jack Doyle, who's probably going to be healthy, and have an Andrew Luck who loved him before he got injured. I just can't. That price range just doesn't make any sense to me.
That's fair enough. Do you want a little statistic?
Sure.
For you to help you. All right. So we agree Jordan Reed's a great talent. So the one knockback to this is, well, look at the tight ends that he's had. But let me run down some tight end. The finishes at the end of season ranks for Alex Smith's tight end one in 2009, tight end two, 2010, tight end two, 2011, tight end eight, 2012. Alex Smith, he only played part of the season. That's when he lost out to Colin Kaepernick. So then he moves to Kansas City. Doesn't have Travis Kelce yet. Tight end 41. Not good. But then Kelce emerges. Tight end six, tight end eight, tight end one, tight end one. So Alex Smith produces over almost a decade worth of sample starting tight ends. And Jordan Reed, when he's not injured, and like you said, he's a walking CTE case, which I'm not disagreeing with, but he's the type of guy in round nine that I'm going to take that big swing, or round eight, I'm going to take that big swing on. And if I hit, cool. If not, I'm out an eighth round pick, which, you know, some eighth round picks are not the best. And I'd rather cut a guy like Jordan Reed while swinging for upside after a few weeks than cut a guy like, you know, we'll say Isaiah Crowell, who probably shouldn't be drafted at all because he's not good. He's in a bad situation, getting old, and he's going one pick before Jordan Reed. So that's just me. I'd rather take him than some of the other guys going around there. It's just sort of a Price is Right situation.
And something interesting about that is that I agree with you. If I had to choose between either Crow or Jordan Reed, I'd actually take Jordan Reed. So, yes. You know, maybe you are right about this round pick, because I can't for the life of me. I would take CJ Anderson over Isaiah Crowell just to show you how bad I'm on, and Nick Chubb and almost every other player inside the first 10 rounds than Isaiah Crowell. I don't understand why this guy keeps getting value when he's done absolutely nothing in the NFL.
Okay. Here's the thing. There's a reason I didn't bring up those other players, because they make my argument look bad. Okay. Just look directly at Isaiah Crowell. Don't look at anybody else. Here, who else can I say? Randall Cobb. There we go. Chris Thompson, who outside of PPR, I'm not sure exactly why he's being drafted at all anywhere. But those are guys all going around Jordan Reed. Jordan Reed has tight end one upside. I'll take a swing at that in round eight. I'll come back around at the end of the draft, snag Eric Ebron. And then when the season's over, I'll have tight end one and tight end two, and I will look like a fantasy genius.
Would you?
I'll snag the third the tight end that'll end the season third. I'll get ASJ also. I'll just have tight end one, two, and three. It's no big deal.
Ooh, ASJ. There's another guy that, if his head's on straight and not just some kind of loon out there, I love
that's
his
a talented value. Man. That is a talented man in an offense that needs a big pass catcher. So, you know, he's with Jacksonville now, and they need that big pass catcher to help out Mr. Bortles. So we've gone through three guys each. Probably should pick it up a little bit here. Your next round 6 through 10 guy that you want to talk about. Is this a rip? Is this a forget? Who's the guy? What position does he play? What's his favorite color? Go.
I'm going to go with Randall Cobb, who's eighth round, 10th pick right now, and I'm going to forget him. I believe that his favorite color is yellow, just because his last name is Cobb.
Hey, so, there you go. I was thinking Packers, but I like that better.
Yeah. Both work either way. We'll make it even. His favorite food is cheese.
There you go. That'll even it out.
Yeah. The guy has done nothing in 3 years, and all of a sudden he's supposed to be the second receiver and it's going to show up on the field and be great. And I don't see it. I think there's value in the second receiver for the Packers. I just don't see it as Randall Cobb. So I'm forgetting the receiver that is the third receiver there, Geronimo Allison.
Geronimo Allison, who I think is going to be the second receiver, personally.
Exactly.
I think he's going to beat out Cobb.
Yes. And it might not be right away, but it's going to happen. And it's going to happen this season. So I would just totally forget Randall Cobb, because by week 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that time frame, Geronimo Allison is going to be what Randall Cobb is today. So you can get Geronimo Allison way later and not worry about having him lose position. All you're going to do is see him climb the ladder. So my forget it is Randall Cobb.
And I fully agree with that, because I fully agree that Geronimo Allison has taken that number two job. from Randall Cobb, because we've seen what Cobb is. He's an older, at this point, Ty Montgomery. He's that running back, wide receiver, mixed role. And just to support your point, this tweet is from Tom Kislingberry, and it sort of stopped me in my tracks about trying to figure out who the third wide receiver was in Green Bay. He said, over the last 5 years, the third Green Bay wide receiver has produced an average of 81 targets, 51 catches, 575 yards, and 4 touchdowns. He says, why is anyone excited? I think that puts it perfectly.
Yeah, and that's very true. As you, Randall Cobb at one time was the third receiver, and he had some great years. There's no doubt about it. He's definitely talented, but his time has come. Devontae Adams was a third receiver. You know, now he's the number one receiver. So the Packers love their third receiver, and Geronimo Allison, guess what, is the third receiver.
Right now, yeah. So perfect. All right, so my next guy, it's not really a guy. It's a cheat. It's round 8 and round 9, the Jags DST and the Rams DST. First two DSTs off the board. What do you think I'm going to say?
I'd go with the Jaguars as a rip and the Rams as a forget it.
Here's my thing. Forget them both. Get them out of here. What are you doing? Don't take defenses that early. This is for a diatribe. This is nothing. There's no stats here. There's no nothing. If you're taking a DST that early, you have to be 100% certain that that DST is going to be the number one DST at the end of the season. They definitely could be, but there's no guarantee. So because so much of DST scoring is reliant on the opponent. And I'm not saying that the Jags and the Rams are going to be vying for top three. What I'm saying is, while you're taking a extremely streamable position, DST, you are taking, you know, you could get top 5 production every week off the waiver wire, top 7 production, usable, good production. You are skipping guys like, if you take Jacksonville, you're skipping guys like, Andrew Luck, who has, you know, top 3 at the position upside, if you're going to take a swing at it. You're skipping guys like Devontae Parker, Robbie Anderson, Jamison Crowder, guys that could have extreme upside. And you're doing it for a position that's eminently replaceable. So there's no stats here. There's no nothing here. This is just me ranting. Don't take a DST in a single digit round. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. If you want to start looking, if the Jags defense is staring you in the face in round 10, go for it. That's great value. But if you're looking in round 8 and saying, you know what, there's a lot of good players on the board, a lot of great wide receivers, a lot of great running backs, let me just snag up this defense that I could take a team 3 rounds later who could potentially be 1 fantasy point different than the Jags in a given week. Now, the Jags were extremely good last year, which also tells me there's going to be a lot of regression. There's a lot of fumble luck there. Personally, not going to take a DST in the first 10 rounds. And Mike, I'm not sure if I should take your silence as agreement or abject horror. So why don't you let me know what you think?
My silence is in agreement with the Rams defense. I wouldn't even come close to taking them in an 8th or 9th round. The Jags defense at 8-7, I think that's borderline flip a coin. I just think that the Jags defense is just so dominant that they're going to equal any of the points that your backups, your third or fourth backup, is going to be even producing. So you have a Jaguars defense, say, that's going to put up, I don't know, whatever your league standard scoring is, and say they score 9 points a game. Well, that's great. That's 9 points every week. And if your backup, say you're Chris Thompson, that might be a flex player, might not even start, and he's scoring 7 points or whatever it is, but he's scoring that on your bench. So what are you going to do? I would rather take the defense over someone that is going to be on my bench. And if you're looking at it that way, then I think you definitely need to go with the Jags defense. Now, if you're getting Chris Thompson to start, you know, either flex or for whatever bye week replacement injury or whatever as a starter, then I agree. Then you need to go with Chris Thompson. But outside of that, I think the Jaguars defense is prime.
Okay. So what's the highest pick you would use on the Jaguars defense then? Just off the cuff, what probably is the highest pick you would go? Would you go around 7?
No. The highest I would go is what they're at right now at 8.7.
So mid eighth round is the highest you'd go with them.
Exactly.
If I was drafting in a league of, let's say, uneducated players, okay, and I'm just sitting there getting value pick after value pick after value pick, and I am just crushing the league. You know, I'm getting Aaron Rodgers in the sixth round. You know, just insane value. I've just built this juggernaut. Okay, fine. Take the Jags in the eighth round. It's fine because you're securing top three at the position, knowing that everybody else you're dealing with is kind of a Jag themselves when it comes to fantasy football. So if you've built a juggernaut, sure. If you're playing the normal draft game that everybody ends up having to play where you're going, oh, man, let me get some upside here, some upside there, because my running backs are going to get hurt, or, you know, my wide receivers, if their quarterback gets hurt, they're going to suck. If you have to build that bench depth, then I'd stay away from the Jags. If you're just crushing the draft, sure. Why not? Go for it. It's your team. I'm not here to tell you what to do, even though if you're listening to this podcast, you're doing it because you want me to tell you what to do. But that's neither here nor there. But all right, so you disagree with me. That's fine. I mean, this is what, the third or fourth time I have to throw you off the podcast for disagreeing with me. But I mean, it's fine. I can do it solo. Don't worry about it.
It's just, I don't know. I just can't see putting a bench player in front of an everyday positional player. And yeah, that's just me.
Well, it's depth. I guess it comes down to how you want to build your roster. You know, I see those players as depth guys, upside guys, because everybody ends up getting hurt at some point or another. So you got to build a nice stable of running backs and wide receivers to make sure that, you know, when your guy goes down, you're not left in the lurch. So that's personally how I think. But I can see your point of view as well on the Jags defense.
Well, let me ask you this question. Who would you rather have, Jacksonville Jaguars defense or Allen Hurns, who's going borderline ninth round?
I would rather have Pierre Garçon. Checkmate. don't try to shoehorn me into bad players. I'd rather have Pierre Garçon, who's going after. I'd rather have Devontae Parker. I'd rather have Jameson Crowder, Robbie Anderson, Cooper Kupp. Robbie Anderson's knucklehead. I'd rather have him than either the Jags or the Rams. So, yeah, don't you shoehorn me into Allen Hurns. Who's going to be the number two wide receiver for the Cowboys by week 8? You heard it here. I love Gallup. I watched a whole bunch of tape recently again. That man, huge sleeper. Trust me on that. Everybody's saying it, but I am huge on him. Don't waste a pick on Allen Hurns. You hear me, Mike?
I got you on that one.
If I find out you came out of a draft with the Jags and Allen Hurns, I'm going to be very mad at you.
Well, I can guarantee you I won't have the Jags because I actually kept the Baltimore Ravens defense.
Ooh, look at you.
So, all right. All right, Allen Hurns, I don't know. I will have to see.
I'll be very mad at you. All right. I don't want to be mad at you. So tell me who your last guy is, and I swear if it's Allen Hurns and you say rip him, I'm just going to end the podcast right now. So,
well, now that you brought him up, no, kidding. There's no way.
I was
going to
throw the mic down.
There's no way in the world. I'm going to do a little homerism and say, I'm going to change that. I was going to say Andrew Luck, but you know what?
I didn't put Andrew Luck because I knew you were going to.
Yeah. let's just put it this way. If Andrew Luck is available in the ninth, middle of the ninth round, and you're not picking him, you better have Aaron Rodgers. Okay.
Buddy, I didn't take him till the 10th round. Granted, wow. I was picking at the 9-10 turn, but I didn't pick him until the 10th round.
Wow. That to me is just unbelievable value. I got him for, we were talking auction a couple of episodes ago. I got him for $8.
Oh, how big's the budget?
200.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good for that kind of upside. Congratulations. Or my condolences when Jim Irsay is lying to everybody again and he doesn't play this season. He
doesn't play? Oh, God. Yeah. There would go my whole season because I got T.Y. Hilton to go along with. So that would be a very bad thing. So not going with Andrew Luck because my eyes diverted and I see Robbie Anderson. And I think this guy is poised just to – talking about ripping it, this guy's going to rip it big time. And
If he's not ripped.
Yeah.
That's a DUI joke for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Good point. Or hitting a police officer or doing a million other different crimes that somehow he keeps getting away with.
Yeah.
I would say he probably hired Johnny Cochran, but that's impossible. Considering if you guys don't know, he's passed.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe I should explain that. Yeah. I think Robbie Anderson, he had a pretty good year last year and went under the radar, and he's flying under the radar pretty much now. Hopefully you'll get your draft in before the preseason starts, because I think he's going to blow it up during preseason, and his ninth draft choice, late ninth round draft choice now, is probably going to end up being a 7-6, something to that effect. So if you have it now, definitely take advantage of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Robbie Anderson's skill set, he's the type of guy that at some point in the preseason, he's going to get matched up on some junk cornerback, you know, a second string cornerback, because the Jets still have their first team out there and the other team they're playing doesn't yet. And he just torches that guy, and his ADP just goes through the roof. You know, I could see the season ending with him going in the seventh or the sixth round, you know, bumping down guys like Devin Funchess and Julian Edelman. I could see him get slotting in there in that range, because he has a greater upside than either of those guys, really. You know, even above Manny Sanders or Jordy Nelson. Oh my God, I'm getting him up into the seventh round or the sixth round almost. I could definitely see that happening. And I'm going to say, Mike, I agree with you, because here's why. I cheated. I said pick five guys. I picked two DSTs last round. This round, I'm picking round nine. The wide receivers in round nine, the round of upside wide receivers. Devontae Parker, rip it. Robbie Anderson, rip it. Jameson Crowder, rip it. Cooper Kupp, PPR, rip it. All these guys, any of them, I would go Parker, Anderson, 1A, 1B, Kupp in PPR and Crowder, but I flip-flop those two in standard. Any of those guys, I would be very happy with. And the joy of those guys in this part of the draft is one or two of them could end up into the 10th round, where all of a sudden you're working with a lot of iffy wide receivers. Calvin Ridley, we don't know how the number two is going to be in Atlanta. Not generally a position that you've been looking at over the last few years with Shanahan and now Sarkisian. Nelson Aguilar blew up last season, but who knows? Kelvin Benjamin, garbage, bad. I know you had the thing with Benjamin and Julio, but in Buffalo, I'm not touching a single Buffalo player this season. DJ Moore in Carolina, now we're talking, but that's round 11. So round 9 is where you want to get your upside wide receiver. Skip round 10. So I'm ripping it on the round 9 upside wide receivers. I'm forgetting it on the round 10 wide receivers, because I cheated and I just picked a whole bunch of guys at once that I wanted to talk about.
I like that, though. I think you hit it perfectly. Now, what about my thing about Calvin Ridley? Don't you find that surprising in the 10th round?
Well, surprising in what way?
Just the fact that he's going that early. To me, You not only have Julio Jones, which you have Sanu, and then you have Calvin Ridley coming in third, and I don't see him catching more than 40 passes this year.
Yeah, and you've got Freeman and Coleman, who are both pass-catching backs also. I mean, he's conceivably the fifth receiving weapon this season for the Falcons. So you're doing that basically saying, okay, I'm going to gamble that he ends up ahead of Mohamed Sanu, and I'm also going to gamble that that target share is enough for him to do anything. So when you said, is that surprising? I was like, oh no, does Mike really like Calvin Ridley?
You go either way.
Yeah, no, I'm staying away from him at that pick. But then you get into round 11, DJ Moore, kind of an empty receiving core there in Carolina, kind of like that situation a little bit better. But again, you're talking round 11. But there's guys in round 11 I'd rather have than him too, if, while we're talking rookie wide receivers. So so my last, I cheated because there's too many guys I want to talk to. Rip it on the upside ninth round wide receivers. Forget it on any of the guys going in the 10th round right now by ADP. Ridley, Aguilar, Kelvin Benjamin, don't want any of them. Use that pick to take a value person that fell. Maybe the Rams fell to the 10th. Maybe the Jags fell to the 10th. Take them there. Maybe, you know, a guy like Andrew Luck fell to the 10th, like we were talking about. Definitely pivot to guys that have fallen at that point before you just start taking all upside. Probably 10 or 11 through 15. Just take all upside picks. If you can help it, this is getting into what we're going to talk about next week. Don't take a DST or a kicker if you can help it. If your settings allow it, take more upside guys. See what happens in preseason. They suck, cut them. But that's neither here nor there. We'll talk about that next week. So this has been episode 6 of the Football Absurdity Podcast. It has been, we've been talking about the mid rounds, round 6 through 10. Some guys you want to look into maybe getting, some guys you want to forget about. Before I head out, Mike, you want to run down your players again so that there's a nice recap here?
I would love to. I just forgot what they were.
That's fair enough.
I do have something for you, though. I think
yes, sir.
This is the worst rip or forget that you can get. If this guy is drafted here, I'm telling you that I might internally implode, and that is LeGarrette Blount in the ninth round. That is probably the worst rip of the whole draft. Or forget, I should say. That's the worst forget in the whole draft is LeGarrette Blount in the ninth round. Forget it. Forget it. Wipe it from your memory banks. Go through a cryogenics, whatever you need to do. But forget that pick in the ninth round.
Don't do it. Take Kerryon Johnson two rounds earlier.
Exactly.
LeGarrette Blount is he's going to be annoying is what he's going to be. That's what he's going to be. He'll get some goal line looks, but they're not a team that really punches it in on the goal line too much. And if they are, they spend a second round pick on Kerryon Johnson. I think this is the year that they finally get a 1,000-yard rusher in Kerryon Johnson, and I think he'll be able to take a bulk of the goal line work. And I agree with you. LeGarrette Blount's almost as bad as Isaiah Crowell, but Isaiah Crowell is so bad in the that's such a bad pick. So alrighty. So Mike, any final words before we let the folks get on with their day?
No, I think that's it. Just rate and subscribe and listen to the podcast. I think we're bringing you a lot of great stuff. And if you have any questions or if concerns or whatever, hit us up on Twitter. We'd be glad to talk to you and work it out and even answer it on the show.
That's right. And again, you can email us footballabsurdity@gmail.com. Mike's RFL Red Zone. I'm JM Crisco. That's KRISKO. Thanks everybody for listening. Next week we'll be back with some deeps round sleepers, rounds 11 through 15 and beyond. We'll each find five guys in the deep rounds that could help you win your fantasy league. So thanks for listening, everybody, and have a great day.